Welcome to the SEI podcast series, a production of the Carnegie Mellon University Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center headquartered on CMU's campus in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. A transcript of today's podcast is posted on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts. My name is Suzanne Miller. I am a principal researcher here at the SEI. Today, I am pleased to introduce two of our other researchers to you, Ian Gorton and John Klein. In today's podcast, we're going to be talking about what's known as big data and the challenges it presents for software engineers. Ian and John have developed a system for helping software engineers manage the challenges of big data, or at least some of them. I don't know if you've got all of them yet. But first, a little bit about our guest. In his work at the SEI, Ian investigates issues related to software architecture at scale. This includes designing large-scale data management and analytics systems and understanding the inherent connections and tensions among software, data, and deployment architectures in cloud-based systems. John's research focuses on developing design and analysis methods for systems of systems and helping individuals, teams, and organizations assess and improve their software architecture competence. John and I had a great time working together on the architecture competence work a few years back, and I'm sure he's having fun tackling the challenges of big data. So welcome, Ian and John.
Hi. Thank you, Susan.
So let's start off by having you explain exactly what you mean by big data. What types of systems are we talking about that need and exploit big data?
Well, it's maybe worth thinking back a decade or so to get some perspective on this. And as hard as it is to believe, 10 years ago, YouTube didn't exist. Facebook didn't exist. Google was starting to boom, but still really in its infancy. And in the last 10 years, we've seen this huge growth in data that's become available. And the things with YouTube are obviously video sources. Facebook, we're getting people contributing content to the internet. And this has just led to an exponential growth in the amount of data that's available on the internet. And of course, this goes into other application domains that are perhaps more pertinent to what we do here at the SEI. So, for example, in a commercial or a military jet, the amount of data collected during a flight is of the order of hundreds of gigabytes per hour. And this can be used
per hour, not per day.
Per operational hour of flight, yeah. And this can be used to do all sorts of wonderful things in terms of predictive maintenance and analytics of performance of engines. And so these increased resolution sensors that we now have, and as well as social media, the internet, and many other sources are just contributing to this need to collect and analyze huge amounts of data. Whereas, you know, a decade ago, there was the 1 or 2 petabyte scale repositories around. Now they're almost common. And organizations in healthcare and government are now having to build these systems, which are incredibly challenging to do.
So what kinds of challenges do these kinds of systems give to our software engineers when they're architecting them, when they're trying to implement them? You know, one challenge is going to involve designing a system that can be responsive to these exponential increases in size and complexity of the data that's available and then potentially that it needs to perform its functions, right? So how do you make these systems responsive, and how do you tell the software engineers how to respond differently? Because many of them were trained 10 years ago before this was something that was prevalent. I know I wouldn't know how to deal with big data if you put me out into one of those areas now.
Yeah, so Suzanne, the way that people have been dealing with data storage is using relational database management systems. And these systems, over the past 30, 40 years have grown. They provide a very nice abstraction. As a developer, they scale up to a certain point, and you don't need to worry about how the data is distributed. You don't need to worry about availability. The database management system takes care of all of that for you. But what's come up in the past few years is a new type of technology, NoSQL,
right?
Which can mean NoSQL or not only SQL. But depending on either way you interpret that, what these are systems that are based on horizontally scaled commodity hardware. So scaling out rather than up.
Adding to the number.
Increasing the size of a single server, right. Because of that, these systems are now inherently distributed. And distributed systems are hard. They're hard to build.
And could I say, is it correct to say they are massively distributed as to opposed, and sometimes the boundaries are not known as to the what the distribution is?
Yes. And so they scale to perhaps tens of thousands of nodes, servers working together to solve your problems. As a developer, it's often hard to know how that is physically organized. This intersects with the area of cloud computing, where as a developer you have no knowledge at all of where your computing resources are coming from. That's managed all by your cloud provider. So distributed systems are hard to build. They're also hard to test because a good distributed system is going to mask partial failures. So,
sure.
So testing these systems in all of the various ways that they may fail can be very difficult. So it puts a more importance on developing an architecture that satisfies good design principles and analyzing that architecture up front.
So what I understand is that you have developed a risk reduction approach to help engineers develop these kinds of systems with the big data sets. What approach did you use and how did you develop that? What kinds of principles give us a good architecture for a large big data kind of system?
Yeah, just to build on what John said, the issues with distributed systems are known to be difficult, and for your average software engineer, they've not had to deal with these at the scale that the new systems, new big data systems are forcing them to think about. And in many ways, a good way of thinking about it is that issues of distribution and data consistency used to be handled at the system level of a software system. Mm-hmm. The relational database used to handle these things. But now these issues are being pushed up the stack so that the actual application programmers themselves have to deal with these hard issues explicitly in their code. They can't rely on some third-party system to make sure everything stays correct. So that's what's really hard about this, and as well as the diversity of the software, these new types of software systems for managing data that are emerging. So what we're trying to do with our approach is to give a systematic framework whereby an organization can slowly navigate through all of these complex issues, understand exactly what sort of problems they have and what types of data they need to manage, and then focus in and choosing a technology and a design approach that's amenable to solving their problem. That this technological landscape is really huge, and there's so many complex issues lurking inside here that organizations just aren't familiar with. And so our approach is all about helping them navigate this, potential
minefield. So you're helping them to characterize the really relevant attributes of that landscape.
Yeah, and the technologies that are most appropriate for doing the sorts of things that will solve their problems. Because all technologies are not created equal, despite what the marketing tells you.
Well, and all servers are not created equal, and all database management systems are not created equal. And now that we're interacting with multiples of those across a single system, you've got to deal with all of that. And as an engineer, if I don't know what those are, then that really hampers me in my ability to understand how to deal with those kinds of issues.
Yeah, and one of the things we see is the technology is becoming much more specialized. The relational databases that we've used in the past were, to some extent, general purpose. Mm-hmm. And through tuning and optimization, you could adapt a particular relational database to solve a particular problem. With this NoSQL technology, the products are much more specialized.
So you'd see a different product for healthcare than automotive systems or avionics, perhaps?
More less by the domain like okay. you just described and more by the sort of the low-level characteristics of the problem.
Ah, okay.
Am I trying to store unstructured documents? Am I trying to store data that fits neatly into a set of key-value pairs?
Am I doing streaming sensor data?
Streaming sensor data. Okay. Do I have a graph that I'm right. trying to represent okay. and okay. navigate? And so that's led to an approach called polyglot persistence, an approach where you, rather than using one single relational database for your entire application, you may store different parts of the data for your application in different databases depending on what's the best fit.
Right, so you can optimize the way that data is made available, right. stored, et cetera.
Okay. You know, that has the benefits of increasing performance, perhaps, but you've now made your system even more complex by breaking it up into parts that may have very different characteristics
right,
in
right.
the way they scale, in the way they react to network partitions, in the way that you deal with recovering from failures.
So you've named this framework LEAP, is that correct?
Yes.
And so LEAP stands for?
Lightweight evaluation and architecture prototyping.
Okay. And so where are you in terms of your status with this? I mean, this is work that I hadn't heard of yeah. before, so I'm assuming this is relatively recent. Where are you in the sort of cycle of this? Yeah.
So what we've done in LEAP is we focused on particular quality attributes that are really pertinent to large data systems. You know, the SEI has a long heritage in developing methods that spread across the quality attribute concerns of a range of applications. We're much more focused on scalability, availability, and consistency.
Okay.
Other quality attributes get driven by these three factors within a big data system. So in LEAP, we have essentially an evaluation framework that enables an organization to characterize their problem space and their needs in terms of their needs to scale data and processing, how available that data has to be, the complexity of the analytics that are required, and how they can achieve the performance that their application is required to deliver. For example, we see in many application domains, architectures are being specialized at different levels depending on the latency of the responses that they need to mm-hmm. provide. So, you know, you can provide very fast responses to some data, but you can't do much processing to provide fast response to perhaps streaming data. So this requires completely different architectural approach, a completely different data model.
Different technologies potentially
to an application that has to grab a large amount of data and run some complex analytics on it and deliver a response in 20, 30 seconds or even longer. And so understanding these tensions and how you can look at the needs of your application and then understand the consistency, availability, and scalability requirements is really what LEAP is focusing upon.
Yeah. And then going from there and developing some very focused architecture prototyping work.
Okay.
Because you know, what we found is engineers are curious. And it's very easy to spend a lot of time and effort playing in the sandbox. You get these technologies in, you install them, you start running some tests, and you know, you discover things and you want to tweak, see if we change this, what happens. As an example, we were working with one organization where they varied the number of client sessions on the database. And what we found is there is a point where, an inflection point where the performance would start to flatten out. And there's this natural tendency to say, well, how could we make it better?
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many knobs and levers to start tweaking that it's very easy to get hung up in trying to optimize, and you're only at the prototyping stage.
Right.
And it's optimization and understanding. So one of the benefits of the approach that we've taken is, as Ian said, going from understanding your requirements to developing some decision criteria and then doing prototyping to address those decision criteria.
So it helps you to sort of bound the sandbox a little bit so that you're more effective in that exploration. Right, right. So have you piloted this? Have you worked with organizations using this?
Yeah, we have been working with one organization, a federal agency, who was looking at this NoSQL technology for a particular application. And so we went in and began with a discussion with their stakeholders, understanding, as Ian was just saying, what were the important qualities that they had in terms of availability, latency, scalability. From that, we developed a set of prototypes that we're in the process of executing right now. We're about halfway through that. And then we're able to feed back the data into their development stream.
Cool. So I know here at the SEI, one is not enough. So I'm assuming that you're looking for more collaborators in this area to help understand what the boundaries are of where Leap can help, where it shouldn't be used, all those kinds of things that we typically do in our technology development here. Can you say a little bit about the kinds of collaborators you're looking for at this point?
Absolutely, yeah. We'd love to prototype and extend this approach with people who have real problems with big data. The collaborators could be in any domains really where they're capturing and managing ever-increasing volumes of data, and this is becoming challenging on their current IT infrastructures. So healthcare would be an obvious one where this is becoming a really dominant problem. Many areas of the military, logistics, planning, intelligence, all of these have very large big data problems, which are really starting to stress how people build applications.
And even things like commercial avionics and transportation another area that I could see being very useful for this.
And we really like diversity as well, because our approach goes down to actual technologies. So we don't just deal with big data at a conceptual level, we actually look at real technology. So in our current work, we've worked extensively with databases such as MongoDB, Cassandra, React. Mm-hmm. And each time we go into a project, we can leverage this information if it's pertinent. But if it's not pertinent, then we can still use the framework to gather the same information about other database technologies, which is then comparable within this framework that we have.
So you're also developing understanding that we don't have today about what some of the boundaries and limitations and criteria are for these mm-hmm. technologies.
Yes.
So that's going to be a wonderful thing in the future as you build up your own data set.
Yeah, it's information that's informally known in the development community, but there's never been any rigor or systematic approach applied.
Right. Excellent.
And also we've been developing a test bed, so we have a virtual private cloud capability that we can use to host the testing. And some reusable processes and workflows so that we can get that jump started. We're also interested in not necessarily doing this for an organization in terms of running the prototypes, but working with organizations that have a development staff and helping to guide their development staff, keep them on track, mm-hmm, interpret mm-hmm. results, that type of work. Because one of the benefits here is, if we do the evaluation for your organization, that's great for us. We develop the knowledge, but you just get a report.
Right, right.
If we collaborate with you and you do
in
part
more of a coaching role.
In more of a coaching role where you're doing the development for the prototyping, then you're building up that knowledge in-house.
And we're learning also about different strategies for
exactly.
teaching about this and coaching that works. So this is this is what we do at the SEI. So this is a very exciting new thing on our horizon, and I'm really, really pleased that we got to talk about this today. If you want to get more information on Leap, the approach that Ian and John have been talking about, please check out their recent blog post at blog.sei.cmu.edu, then click on the Big Data category. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is a wonderful conversation, and I think we have some more in the future as you get some more information about some of your results. This podcast is available on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcast, and on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes U site. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at info@sei.cmu.edu. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne.